Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got fun things lined up for you this hour, and we're going to kick it off with a fun one. Our pet of the week, as we do every Thursday. Joining us on the phone right now, our good friend, Executive Director of the Southwood County Humane Society, Madison Rafter. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Appreciate you joining us this morning. I know how busy you are over there, Madison. We don't want to keep you too long, but I want to take some time focusing on our pet of the week. Who is our furry friend this week?
Our furry friend this week is a little kitten named Cashew. Cashew also
cute.
Has a brother named Chestnut, and they look identical to each other. Chestnut is a four-month-old kitten that came into us as a stray. Both him and his brother were found without a mom. Cashew is just kind of unique. He reminds me of a bat. He's a little spunky guy. He's got the face that just looks like a bat, and he always looks like he's smiling. And I'm not sure if he's just got bigger teeth than normal or what he's got going on, but he makes me giggle.
Madison, I found him on your webpage, and you can find him yourself out there, everybody, swchs.com. You aren't kidding.
He is super cute.
He is so cute. He's a perfect gray. I love that gray coat on a cat, but those ears are so bat-like. They're so bat-like ears.
I mean, he's not smiling, so we really can't see his teeth.
No.
But
he does give me a look like he's going to say at any moment, I'm Batman. Like, I feel like I'm going to get that from him at any moment.
I'll walk past his kennel in the shelter, and I'll catch him with his teeth out. And he does remind me of a bat, where he'll, like, have his little fangs out, and his ears are just so perfectly pointed that he reminds me of a bat. And
yeah.
I love it because it's October, we're getting near Halloween, and he just reminds me of the perfect Halloween cat.
Yeah, well, good point. Also, great name. I never thought of this
super
before.
Super cute.
Cashew is a perfect name for a cat.
Yeah.
It's a great name.
Have you
name.
Ever thought of, yeah.
I never
all,
thought of that.
But now I'm thinking through like all nut names, and
yeah.
They're all cute. Like pecan would be cute.
Oh, walnut. Yeah. I don't know about walnut, actually.
Well, Wally.
Oh, Wally. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a great one. Great cat. Madison, you mentioned he's 4 months old. Does he have all of his shots and everything?
Yep, so Cashew is 4 months old. He is up to date on age-appropriate vaccines. He is neutered and microchipped.
As far as a type of family or a person that would be good for Cashew, is there a specific type or all comers?
I'm pretty much all comers. I mean, he's a basic kitten. He's a little bit of a wild child like normal, but of course being in a shelter cooped up at a small area at a young age, he definitely can be... He's more overexcited because he just wants to get out, wants to play, and he's looking for his home that he can just romp around and have the time of his life. So anyone with kids and older couples looking for a kitten, I think he would fit into any family type.
I have to make an honorable mention here for Catfish. The wonderful cat right after Cashew, I just happened to notice out of the corner of my eye. First off, one of the greatest names I will ever hear for a cat is Catfish. That is a fantastic name. But what a beautiful cat, too. That's a good one. Just an honorable mention. Just throw that in there. That's another good
Catfish
one.
Catfish also has a brother named Clownfish. So.
That's perfect. Perfect. I love it.
You have to have like someone on staff just to name all the pets.
Yes. Yeah. I want that gig. Oh, I want that job so bad. I'm just going to sit in an office in the back and they put pets in front of
me. You would be
me.
Good at that because you have a strong appreciation of names.
Yeah, I really do. I don't know why. I think because I have a boring first name. I feel like that's why.
But you just really genuinely do. So you would be good at that.
I think it'd be fun. Being at the Humane Society is fun. It's such a good experience. Encourage people to reach out to our Humane Society more. Madison, what are some things we can do to help out right now? Anything you guys could really use? Anything you're really needing?
Yeah, definitely. So right now we do have an adoption sale going on where if you bring in three of our highest need items, you do get an adoption fee for $50, and that goes for dogs and cats. It does exclude our kittens under 6 months and our puppies under 6 months, but we are in desperate need of a lot of supplies right now. So we do have our highest needs list that is posted on our website and our Facebook. So again, if it's something you're looking for a furry friend to add to your family, this is a really good opportunity to jump into.
Yeah, great note.
Hey, Madison, we have a really important question for you today.
Go
we
for
need
it.
To know your favorite Halloween candy.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I'm not going to lie. I am not a big candy person.
Okay.
But I would say, if anything, gummy bears.
We didn't even think of that.
It's one of my all-time, like, top Perfect. Three favorite candies, and I didn't even think of it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to differ from the pets, but we're having a really important candy conversation here.
It's a very important question as well.
Yes. I thank you, Madison. You're the best. You play along always. I did want to mention one other thing about your guys' new webpage. First off, check out the webpage, swchs.com. It is fantastic. I like the old page. I just really enjoy all the added things that you guys have done to this new one. And I've never seen this on a site before where the adoption process is so, you can break it down so much. The animal type, animal gender, age group, if they're good with kids, dogs, cats, or something, all the above. You don't have to check these things to look for an animal, but you can. And I love that option, and I just want to let people know about that if they didn't know.
Yeah, and we added that as something that most of our calls that we get to the shelter, that is going to be their number one question of what they're looking for. When people are coming in, they're looking for something particular. And we kind of added that feature on the website that if we do know that information, hey, we can tag that right on the animal right away. So if it is something that you are looking for a particular animal, that, hey, I need to know that this animal is good with other animals, or hey, I need to know that it's good with kids, we have that option on there that gives it a little bit more of a narrow down of, okay, hey, now I know that this animal may not be a good fit for me, but what other animals are there that might fit well into my home?
Well, I think too, the benefit of that is that people aren't always searching when you're open, right? Yeah, so like they, you know, if they really want to know, is this pet good with, you know, is this cat good with dogs? I think it keeps their interest in the pets that you have because they're meeting their need.
Yep. And I mean, we're not always going to know 100% that, yes, this is going to be the best fit of this. We know this dog gets along with other dogs, or we know this dog gets along with cats. And, you know, again, animals are very much so like people. Sometimes they really just may not get along with a specific animal, but we have the ability to sit down and be like, hey, you know what? We know this one's a little bit particular. We know they can do well, but you know what? If you want to know 100%, let's find you one that might be a better fit for you.
Quick honorable shout out to Barcode and Billy, who have been there for a little while. I know that for a lot of people, when you're looking at these animals and you're at the shelter, it can be a little bit overstimulating. There's so many great animals. You want to take them all home. When I was working at shelters, there were people who would what helped me make this decision? And for some, it's how long an animal has been at a shelter. So it's something else to keep in mind. And the nice added bonus, I think, to this, Madison, is putting things like that on there, encouraging people to give a little bit, maybe a stronger look at cats like Barcode or Billy or other animals like that.
Yeah, we have that added feature that pretty much when an animal, because our system that we use keeps tally of how long those animals have been in the shelter from the day they came into us until the day they leave. So anytime we have animals that hit over 100 days, they have that little banner that'll start popping up on their picture that'll tell you how long they've been in the shelter environment. And I think that that really helps too, because a lot of people sympathize of, you know what, I just want to go rescue an animal that's been sitting there for a very long time that just really needs a home. And that kind of also helps to have that engagement that they can just pop right on the website and see who's been with us the longest.
Certainly to each their own, and there's certain individuals, well, I want this specific animal that looks like this or whatever, and I have no problem with that. But I know there's so many people out there, to your point, Madison, that it's a hair apiece, and animals are so adaptable that the animal's going to work with them, and they're going to work with the animal because they want it to work, and can make these things work oftentimes where it's not, you don't go in there with a set, I need this type of animal. You're going in and you're looking for an animal, just looking for love, looking for a great animal to take home and have a great relationship with. Madison, go ahead.
Oh, I just was like, yeah, it's one of those things that, like, we try not to hold that judgment either with people, because again, you're going to come in the shelter and you may have a perfect mindset of this is exactly what you want. And that's perfectly fine. We have nothing against that, because you know what? I'm just the same. I'm sorry. I like little dogs and I like hairless dogs. That's just my cup of tea. I like those special ones. But there's some people that want to come in and they've got specific restrictions. We hold no judgment with that. You want to come in and you end up finding something that wasn't even what you were looking for. That's also fantastic as well.
There is a need right now to get these animals good homes, and they are overbooked over there at the hotel at the Humane Society. So let's get these animals good homes, everybody, and reach out to Madison and her team. Madison, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can reach us on our website at swchs.com. They can shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com. Otherwise, you can give a call over to the shelter at 715-423-0505.
Always good talking with you, Madison. Thank you so much for the time. You have a great week. We'll hang out again next week.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is one of the funkiest sounds you will ever hear on National Funky Day. I think it's Funky Music Day or something. But I think Cameo, or Morris Day, I will say. You know, Parliament, George Clinton, plenty of examples, but... That's the funkiest voice you'll ever hear. You'll never hear a more funky voice than Morris Day in the time.
You automatically just go to your volume.
Yeah, yeah. It tells you something. Prince discovered the time, Morris Day and all that. And it tells you something when Prince is kind of like backs off vocally.
Right.
Like, no, you go ahead and take this one, Morris. You go ahead. Like, it tells you something right there. A big shout out to Madison Rafter and our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. Went to break awfully quick there. I don't know what happened, but I did want to mention one more time, Cashew is our pet of the week. Find out about Cashew and other great animals at swchs.com. Be sure to follow the Humane Society on their social media accounts as well. Let's get into a little bit of entertainment news right now, Terry. Interesting stuff I wanted to touch on here. One of them, Drew Barrymore's show is set to return in October 16th, but its three head writers won't be returning. According to sources, they have declined an offer to return, so the production team is currently looking for new writers and might want to find them quick.
Yeah.
Time is ticking. It doesn't come as too big of a surprise, considering last month Drew announced she'd resume her show without her striking writers. Then after receiving backlash, she backtracked and decided to wait until the strike ended. There ain't many jobs out there, people. I'm going to be honest with you right now, okay? Think about if you're a mechanic or if you want to work in retail or something, wherever you live, I don't care if you're living in a big city or living in a small town, there's only so many jobs for a particular skill set that you have. Now, put that on a scale like this, where I'm trying to get a writing gig, and it's me and 15,000 other writers for two jobs. Like, that's it. Like, I understand holding your point better than most. I am a rebel without a pause. I understand this quite well. But there's a certain point where I feel like you got to choose your battles wisely in life. It's so vital in life to choose your battles wisely. And is this worth losing my job over a good daytime gig working with somebody that everybody loves? Drew Barrymore doing this. It wasn't like Bill Maher doing this. Bill Maher was doing this in almost like a wannabe rebellious way of pushing back at writers or something, which he is one of them. He is in the Writers Guild. Drew Barrymore was doing this in the essence of, well, I've got the person who does catering. I've got the person who does makeup. I've got the person that holds the boom mic. They're not a part of this strike, and they're losing their
right,
paychecks.
Like, let's get back to it.
I, as somebody who was in favor and supported the writers and the current actors strike, I'm a striking actor right now. I'm a SAG member. I am currently on strike as an actor. I support these things, obviously, but I see her side of it. I see both sides of it. I see that angle of it. And this just isn't the hill to die on to me. I mean, I don't blame them, to each their own and everything, but I feel like choose your battles wisely. That just... I'll take that gig. Like, you know, she's looking for writers. I'll take it. Like, scabbing. That's not, you know, crossing the picket line or anything. It's, you know, this has been done. This happens in negotiating all the time. It's no different than negotiating with your significant other or with your business or something like that. Yeah, things get tense during negotiation. Afterwards, let's get back to work.
Absolutely.
We got work to do here. Let's get back to it. I hope that goes well for them, and I hope those writers rethink that process.
So during the break, heard from one of our listeners, Kevin, and he said the best Halloween candy is his kids' candy.
Oh, nice, Kevin. Nice job, Kevin.
So there we go.
I think Kevin deserves a shirt for that.
You know, says every parent everywhere.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It works
I love
for
it.
Me. I like it. Last night, I haven't been able to sleep very well, period, like just my whole life, but especially the last couple of days.
I was going to say that's new.
My I don't know what I did to my voice over the weekend, but it's just been broken. And then my back broke. So I just have not been sleeping. Stayed up a little late.
You are getting old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't even breathe and not like, oh, my God, what was that? No, I'm joking. I stayed up a little late, and I was not a mature adult. I stayed up late basically watching the season finale of Only Murders in the Building. It's a TV show on Hulu.
Creepy.
Oh, it's so good. Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez.
Hulu.
Yeah.
Is it really scary?
No. It's a comedy murder mystery. It's a whodunit kind of.
Maybe I'll check it out.
It's Martin Short and Steve Martin.
All right, fair enough. And
Selena Gomez, who is just phenomenal. I
like her, but I've always liked her.
I didn't know her until this show. I am one of the biggest Selena Gomez fans in the world now. I love her on this show, and it's so good. And this season, they brought on Paul Rudd and, oh, yeah, the greatest actor in the world, Meryl Streep. So they had Meryl Streep on a TV show for this season, and it was really good. It was a great season. But going into it, I and many of the fans of the show had heard that this was the final season. No spoilers here, but it ends on a bit of a cliffhanger, so I was confused until I saw the news this morning. This series, Only Murders in the Building, has been renewed for season 4 on Hulu.
Oh, interesting.
So they are coming back for one more season. But Steve Martin has said this is probably his last acting gig. He's probably not going to act anymore after this.
So he's going to die sometime
he's
getting murdered in the building?
You better knock on wood. We better not lose Steve Martin.
Figuratively.
Yeah. I know what you meant. He's getting more and more and more into music. And he's a great banjo player. He's
really?
Actually played. Oh, yeah. He's a world famous banjo player. He's won Grammys. He's played with Alison Krauss a bunch. Like, he plays with her a lot. They're friends. They actually do a little Sunday morning bit sometimes together where he'll play, like during the pandemic, he'll play something and then she'll sing it. It's a little like dueling banjos, but with her singing. It's really good.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a great show. Great show. I don't recommend shows very often, but if you're looking for some fun, it's a little drama, but more comedy. And certainly a good, like, very good writing. Tina Fey has been on it. Nathan Lane, Sting was on there. I mean, a lot of good.
I'll have to check it out.
I think it's worth a check. I think it's worth it. And wrapping up our entertainment section here, Saturday Night Live is returning on October 14th. And returning with Pete Davidson as their host. Guest star will be Ice Spice. Bad Bunny will serve as the host and musical guest on October 21st. Saturday Night Live returning is kind of a... I think for many people, including the entertainment industry, it's a sign of things getting back to normal after these strikes. I'm curious to see if the actor strike will end before this begins, because there's a lot of SAG members a part of SNL, and that gets a little bit dicey if they're going to be able to show up and perform on there or not. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I put my name on this. The actor strike will end any day now. The actors striking was in unison with the writers, and the writers will tell you. So something really weird happened with the writer strike. First off, it was only a 3-year deal, but usually in a negotiation, me and Terry are trying to negotiate, and we both leave the negotiation happy but not too happy, because I got a little something, but I lost something. She got a little something, but she lost something. That's a typical negotiation.
Compromise.
With this, the writers got everything we wanted, pretty much everything we wanted. They thought, especially the guy from Netflix and some of these other people, were really quickly coming out and saying, we're going to play a game of chicken with the writers. They're going to have to sell their houses before we have to even buy one less yacht or something like that. And it was flipped. It actually went the other way. The board of directors for Netflix and for Hulu and some of these companies were like, hey, this whole little like thing that you guys are doing, knock it off. Pay the writers what they want. Get them out there. They're the ones creating the content. How many producers do you know have written a TV show or come up with a TV show, mind you? No, it doesn't happen. So they understood. The boards of directors and those people and the fans spoke. The people were behind this. It means a lot that the actors join the writers in unison with this. What really means something, and even more, is so many human beings, so many people out there came out and were supportive to the writers about this. They understood. I don't think that we look at it this way, but writers, maybe more than any other art field, are blue-collar workers.
come from blue-collar backgrounds. There are people. Stepping up with them and standing beside them is no different than standing next to auto workers or teachers or anything else. It gets a little more dicey when we get into acting and all that. I'll agree with that. But not writers. Writers, they come from blue-collar families 99% of the time. They are raised on this, and it's the reason why they're good at what they do, writing for Midwest people and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or not just Midwest. I mean, like, blue-collar or middle class is what I meant to say. So it's kind of cool to see that. And it's cool to see Saturday Night Live coming back. I might be the only person happy about it. I don't know how many SNL fans there are anymore, but I will say every season that they come back, it's nice to me because I don't know when it's the last time.
Good point.
I don't know how long that show...
How long will it continue?
Yeah, not sure. We have to take a break. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Steve Winwood to play us in. Quite the career. 14, I think he was.
Seriously?
No, 12 or 14 with the Spencer Davis Group.
Really?
When he first started. Give Me Some Lovin'.
I don't really know if I realized that he was that young.
He's been around a long time, quite a few. So, Terry, let's dive into this one. This is an interesting topic. I wonder if the real number here is higher and some of these people are just, well, lying. In a new poll, 25% of Americans admit to lying at least once a day. So maybe that was the one time they lied. Maybe it was it. I don't know. This is a confusing poll. I don't know how you can tell. The other 75% claim that they don't lie that much.
They're unsure.
Yeah, you're right. Men, yes, good one. Men are more were a little more likely to admit it, 26% compared to 23% of women. Men were also more likely to say that they lie multiple times a day. The poll didn't discriminate between small white lies and bigger lies, so this includes everything from, yes, you look good in those jeans, to, no, I swear I haven't been drinking, officer.
yes, you look good in those jeans.
It's quite the gamut right there. Millennials are the biggest liars, according to the survey. Gen X and Gen Z are next, and baby boomers were the least likely to say that they lie a lot. So this isn't about if you lie or not, it's if you admit it or not is what they're really talking about here, it's at least to me, from what I can tell. It also looked at the top ways to spot a liar, and here are the top five things we think are signs someone's being untruthful. They won't look you in the eye.
That's what I was just going to say. Eye contact has to be right up there.
84% think that's a red flag. 24% think too much eye contact can be a sign, too.
Like a stare down?
Yes.
I agree. Don't you? What do you think about that? I think that's pretty valid.
I'm going to give my answer at the end.
Okay.
I want to get through this. All of them. Yes, I am lying. I'm going to give my answer right now. No. fidgeting. 63% believe that. That tells if a person is lying or not. They are sweating. 61% say that one. They start talking really fast. 48% say that. Only 15% think that talking too slow is a sign. Interesting. I've never run into that one. That's an interesting one. And you notice they're suddenly blinking a lot. 45% say that one. So here is the thing, and this isn't coming from me. This is coming from people that know what they're talking about, like FBI profilers, or even Randy might know a little of this. I know a lot of law enforcement is taught these things when you're interrogating somebody, that there are these cues, these signs, that every single one of us do this one thing, and we know that they are lying. Poker players will also tell you that they can tell these things. But I'm pretty sure Randy or anybody else would admit there is no set tale to tell of a person. Everybody has a tell, but figuring out what that tell is difficult to do. So oftentimes, if I'm interrogating somebody, if I'm looking to do or something, I'll get a barometer. I'll figure, okay, what's your name? And give me their name or whatever. Okay, I can tell when they're telling the truth. And then I'll ask them something that I know is a lie. You know, if they're a man, what's it like to do this as a woman or something like that? And you can see where their mind goes. It's a great way to be able to see what a person's tell is. But it's not a set science. It's no more a set science than anything in life. Lie detectors can be beat. There's no set, this is 100% proof way to tell somebody is lying. There are people that will tell you they can do that,
But guess what? They're lying. there is no set way to do this. Certain people are a little more obvious than others. But one of the things that I find interesting looking into this, I grew up in a little bit of this world. And one of the things that I find interesting about it is when you hear FBI profilers and these people talk about these things, I think a lot of people would think, well, a person who can fall asleep in an interrogation room, well, they're very innocent. And a person who can't stay, you know, is wide awake and very nervous and all that, well, they're probably guilty. Well, 9 times out of 10, it's actually the opposite. A person who is fidgety and quick to defend themselves and those things oftentimes maybe not be guilty, whereas it can be the reverse. And all of this is gray area because it can also be true the other way around because, again, there is no set way to be able to tell something like this. I love that they're trying, and I love people that have these parlor tricks that they think they can do when, oh, I'm going to go into this card game and I'm going to be able to, I know right away if this person's lying. I know because they fidgeted or because they wouldn't make eye contact. Or maybe they're not social. Maybe they're not a social butterfly and they're not great at making eye contact. Or maybe they're just a fidgety person. Like, there's no set way to be able to tell these things.
But it does depend what kind of relationship you have. I mean, the police kind of example that you're giving is maybe a little bit different. But think about, like, your kids or your siblings or, you know what I mean? Or your significant other or someone that you're well acquainted with. You do notice changes in their...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether they're trying, like, the eye contact thing or the fidgeting, because if they're not normally a fidgety person,
then it stands out.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely stands out.
And that gives you your tell. That gives you your barometer right there. So there are certainly, levels to this. But I don't think that there is, well, I'm always going to be able to tell thing. I don't think that that's necessarily the case, that 100% of the time you can tell if somebody's lying or not, I even if you do know them really well. People are like that. People just are able to do these things. We all know somebody who's terrible at lying. I think I'm one of these people. I don't test this very often because I don't have a need to. I'm a pretty open book person. But if I am in the situation where I do need to lie, I'm a terrible actor in real life. I'm one of the best you'll ever see on a stage, but I am not good at this in real life. I'm a literal kind of person. And growing up, one of my favorite quotes and a quote I live by is Mark Twain's, "If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything." I love that quote. And I take it a little too literal, I think, where I'm a little too honest in some ways. And I just value honesty. And I think that almost all everybody says, oh, I want you to be honest. Even if it's a hard truth, I want it. I'm the guy that really means that. I really do want the hard truth. I really do want you to be real with me. And I'm going to be the same way back. I'll try to use some tact, but I'm going to be honest back. I like this idea that different generations are worse than others about this, too.
You know, I can see, though, that the boomers are least. I mean, I'm not saying they don't lie, but I'm just saying just in the way that they were brought up and the difference in values and that kind of. I mean, I can see whereas that's not as prevalent as it might be in some of the other generations.
I think if you focus too much on if a person's telling the truth or not, you're not going to hear what they're saying. You also lose track of the conversation. And oftentimes lying hurts the person lying more than you. You know, I don't mean emotionally. I mean the actions of what falls out from that, the aftermath of that lie. I generally, because there is nobody who gets away with lying, really.
Well, and you around the person move on. That person carries it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. I also, there's some honorable mentions here as far as a few more things that we associate with lying. They start tripping over their words, or maybe they're just on air. Maybe they're just on air personality. I trip over my words every day. They play with their hair. They touch their own face, and they start using an odd amount of hand gestures. Again, I'm Italian. It's all my whole life is hand gestures.
I do think it's funny, though, because you think about this from the parenting aspect.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you know the telltale. Yes, like, what are the signs? And it's funny because kids everywhere are amazed with how their parents know they're lying.
Yeah.
Well, because we know you. You know what I mean? Like, and our parents the same, right? Like, everyone has probably told a lie as a kid to their parent.
Oh, yeah.
But they know.
Oh, they know.
You know what I mean? Definitely. Like, it's just. But we all think that we're, like, the smartest, most, you know.
Especially my friend Chris and I. We really thought we were so good at this and everything. And as I got, once you have kids and you realize, they knew they were just letting us get away with stuff sometimes. They're just like, they chose their battles wisely. Like, okay, we're going to hold them to the fire on this, but we'll let them get away with that. We'll let them think that they're rebels and get away with this and whatever. Yeah. It was interesting. My son and daughter, two middle kids, JC and Izzy, they were the same when they were caught up in a lie or something. They would look down. They would look down and they'd kick their feet around like Charlie Brown or something like that. It was fun. I wonder if they still do that.
I haven't
thought about that in years. I wonder if they still do that. That's interesting. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's worked so far, but we're not out yet.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know.
What was it?
I said ironic for the lying conversation.
Yes. It's so ironic. Is it Human League, I think?
I think so.
Human League? Yeah. Pure Energy or something like that. I don't know. I just remember that it's Liam Neeson that they sampled from. That was about it. But it's so 80s. That's so 80s. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show. A couple 80s kids here, Terry and James with you. We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Friday Eve. Happy Thursday, everyone. So here's a kind of a end of an era kind of thing that we're happy to see go. Remember when you couldn't go anywhere without flashing your COVID-19 vaccine card? Well, end of an era, everybody. The CDC announced that they have stopped printing them.
Oh, burn your card.
Burn them. The vaccines aren't being distributed by the federal government anymore, and we're all well past the point of bars and restaurants needing them, so they decided there's no reason to print new ones anymore. Since late 2020, they sent out about around a billion of them to doctors, pharmacies, and clinics around the country. They can still be used as proof of vaccination, so they suggest hanging on to yours and keeping it with you for medical purposes. Or just putting it with your medical records, you know, whether you have it in your wallet or your purse or whatever. I think putting it with your medical records is a good idea. If you lost yours or burned it in protest, like Terry and I were just about to do. I'm joking. The place you got vaccinated probably has a record of it. A lot of states also have digital records you can access online. I should be clear about that. I meant in protest in like the joking, like in a joking way. I got vaccinated. Terry,
yeah.
Nowadays, you got
to be careful. Somebody said you don't need the card anymore.
Yeah, I could see somebody twisting that. I could see. So.
Oh, well.
This doesn't mean the CDC wants you to skip your booster, by the way. They say everyone should get it for the holidays, especially older adults and people with compromised immune systems, just like we've been talking about with this disease this whole time.
I actually heard just the other day that there's a blended, like a flu shot with the next booster, you know, mixed together. So,
It comes with free fries. It comes, it does feel like we're starting to, like we're turning our vaccine.
It should come with something.
It should. At least a cookie. At least. I mean, come on. We get a cookie for donating blood.
Not Bit O' Honey.
It does come with a life-saving serum. I'll give it that. But still, cookie. Just give us a cookie.
How about Lifesavers?
Oh, perfect. Nicely.
I mean,
so good
something.
I think a little thing of Lifesavers would be really good with that. Yeah. Part of the reason I wanted to talk about this is to have a little fun with you about it. But also, this is a win for everybody. Everybody that got vaccinated, that got behind this, that we're working on this, that where we are now, we had some dark days there and some days where I don't think many of us had a lot of positivity or a lot of hope that we were ever going to get through them. I didn't know what the world was going to look like when we got out of this pandemic. And I don't think a lot of us did, especially people from our kind of bird's eye view in media and everything. I'm proud of our country. I'm proud of our Americans. I'm proud of our fellow Americans. I'm proud of where we got to in this country. It is so dang easy for us to be cynical and to take shots at each other or to talk ill about our country or our government or any of these things. It's low hanging fruit to me. It's very easy to do that. And I do some of that sometimes. There's a call to it sometimes, but it's so much harder to be able to look at this world and just looking at our country in general and saying, dang, we did that. We made that happen. It's nothing for us to look back 40 years and give ourselves compliments about these things, the moon landing or any of that kind of thing. But we are so hesitant to do it Even people that are running around with an American flag are hesitant to do it at times. This is an opportunity for us to all, as a world, to unify, to look at this and say, we did that. We made this happen. It's a win. And we don't take the wins in life nearly enough. We made this happen, everybody, and you should feel dang good about it. I wanted to touch on this one as well before we go to break. Actually, you know what? I want to spend some time with it. So let's go ahead and we'll do it when we come back. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Edie Burkell and the New Bohemians playing us in. Terry and James here with you. Taking you to the top of the hour, wrapping up the show. It was a fun one. Appreciate everybody out there calling in, listening, and all that. Thank you so much to Madison Rafter for joining us. And, of course, our good friend Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. A lot of fun today. Got a That Ain't Right story I want to touch on. And this is an interesting one, Terry. Police in Slovakia shared a traffic camera photo of a dog sitting behind the wheel of a speeding car. Police said in a Facebook post that the image was captured by a traffic camera in the village of Sturzia, and the officers stopped the Skoda car to investigate. Police joked in the post that the brown dog was on the lookout for deer and officers ruined its hunting plans for that day. The 31-year-old owner of the car, who was the actual driver, told the police the dog had unexpectedly jumped behind the wheel while he was driving, but police said that they suspect the man was allowing the large dog to ride on his lap, which you cannot do, no matter what country you're in. The post urged drivers to make sure dogs and other pets are properly restrained while riding in moving vehicles to avoid dangerous situations. Certainly a sudden stop or something like that, the animal can be hurt, but very important with dogs. Dogs' center of their world is being able to literally their paws on the earth. And when you put them in a vehicle, the earth is moving and they don't understand what's going on. And for every dog that has their head out the window trying to get smells, there's a dog that's panicked, that is not sure of what's going on. So know your dog, know that it's okay, and make sure your dog is in the back seat.
And I mean, never mind that they're impairing your vision.
Yeah, that part is a good note.
But you do see that all the time with like little dogs. You see people driving with them on their lap. Or one day I saw someone with their dog like around their shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, like just laying there, driving, and I'm like, whoa.
This dog is literally not only on his lap, but it's right.
That is pretty funny. I mean, I can see just from that photo, like what that video footage looked like. Yeah, they were probably like, what in the world? Thinking maybe, I mean, what would you, maybe you think it's like a self-driving car or something?
Or something. I do like the idea of this happening more with self-driving cars.
I think it's hilarious. When you first were telling the story, I'm picturing like Scooby-Doo. Right? Yes, like sitting there driving.
Yeah, yeah. It almost looks like that a little bit. He's so in his lap. He's so in the front there. That's interesting.
How far back does the seat have to go for that to happen?
That's a great question. It's a great question. Especially, that's a bigger dog.
Like, can you still reach the pedals? That's a big obviously.
Dog. Yeah. And I don't know how he could see. I don't know how he could see at all with that. That is interesting. I want to get to some local good stories of the day. We need a palate cleanser. Let's do it. And first up, I want to mention our programming for the day. We got a great one coming up for you today from 3 to 4 on Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us. CEO of your United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties, Terry John's going to be with us in part one. Looking forward to that, Terry and I. Terry's got to put up with me for an extra half an hour today. Everybody feel for her. We'll get you a
goal. Feel my pain.
Yes, feel that. Part two, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension. Always love talking 4-H with Laura.
And I think it's either 4-H week or 4-H month.
Yeah.
Something. I don't remember, but yeah.
We're going to have a great conversation with Laura. Looking forward to that a little bit later. Do want to remind everybody on our radio right here at WFHR. Got good stuff, of course, all day long. But be sure to join us at 7 over at WIRI, West Country, 105.5. My man Seth has Trail Tunes. Fantastic show. If you haven't heard before, today's a great day to catch it. Seth's got some great stuff there for you. Catch every Thursday at 7 Trail Tunes on West Country 105.5 WIRI. I don't know. I didn't get an update before we got on the air. I reached out and I didn't hear anything, but I know yesterday Focus was looking for brown paper bags. Let's just assume that they may still be in need of these. So our friends in Focus were looking out in desperate need of brown paper bags. If you are able to drop some off, encourage you to do so. They are open today and tomorrow from 8 to 4 at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
And just to clarify, it's grocery size bags.
Yes.
You know, not like a lunch bag, brown paper bag. I think it's like a full size grocery bag.
Yeah. I apologize. I didn't know.
That's how I interpreted it when I saw it. But I mean, it could be wrong. But that's just how like if you go to the grocery store and you get paper instead of plastic, those are the bags they're looking for you to recycle on over to them.
Really appreciate anybody who is able to drop those off. Also going on right now is the Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market from 8 to 2 at First Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Goggin Street. Fresh flowers, locally grown fruits and veggies.
Oh, baked egg goods. Rolls.
Those egg rolls down there are so good. Go check it out. Not only are you going to get some great produce, but you're helping support our local ag industry, our local vendors. Buy local, support local. Check out the Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market Thursdays and Saturdays, 8 to 2 at First Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Goggin Street. Did want to also mention for everybody to get their tickets for Blythe Spirit. Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater has their opening season production for 23 coming up this Friday. Get your tickets for Blythe Spirit. Wonderful show, an amazing cast. You are not going to be disappointed. You're going to be laughing your tail off. Directed by one of our greatest directors, and Linda Garski.
I was just going to ask if it was Linda.
Yep. And a great cast with some of our favorite actors on that stage. Help them kick off the WRCT 23-24 season with Blythe Spirit. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. WRCtheater.org. And Terry, I wanted to make sure to take some time talking United Way with you. We've got a lot of good events coming up, including one right around the corner just tomorrow, Community-Wide Denim Day.
Yeah, so this is a opportunity to raise some additional funds for companies and organizations, and individuals certainly can participate. But the idea behind Denim Day is just that, you know, an employee who normally has to wear dress clothes might have the opportunity to dress down while making a donation. So we encourage a $5 donation for Friday, October 6th for people to be able to wear jeans to work. We encourage companies to participate and let their employees participate. And if, you know, you work somewhere that already you can wear jeans all the time, we still encourage the donation, just in the spirit of fun and trying to build awareness of United Way. If you have a United Way shirt, wear that as well. We love to see a whole bunch of those out and about. If you don't have one that's branded United Way, how about a Day of Caring shirt? You know, something that talks about or relates to serving others in our community in some way. So that is tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And it's just honestly for us, it's fun to be out that day and kind of checking it out and seeing who's part of it.
I love the pictures when you guys post them on social media of you guys. You guys look so happy being out and about and doing it. It is a fun event.
Well, and it is fun. We have several organizations that have kind of expanded it. You know, a couple banks in town, they're like, you know what? We'll let our employees wear jeans the whole month.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they love, right? Awesome. Because it's just an opportunity to be casual and have a little fun with it. So, again, promoted and advertised as tomorrow, but certainly if you're listening from a organization or a business, you know, you could promote it as a larger scale event as well.
Yeah. And we talked earlier about Day of Caring. Just to remind everybody again, we are still accepting tomorrow? Tomorrow is the last day to get your lawn in there. So we encourage you to do that. If you are out there listening or you know somebody who could really use their lawn raked, check with them. See if they've already sent their information to the United Way to be able to get their lawn raked. Terry asked you this earlier. Are there requirements? Are there things people should know about, hey, you fit? Because we know our Midwesterners, they're going to do it on their own, even if they got like no legs. They're going to try to figure out how to rake their own lawn because that's how our people are. So let's encourage them to, hey, you could use a hand.
Absolutely. So the idea behind the event is that we're helping friends and family and neighbors in need. So to qualify, you would need to be elderly, disabled, unable to physically clean up your yard yourself. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, in the spirit of helping those with the most need, unable to, you know, maybe pay to have a service do it, right? Yeah. So just thinking about it that way. We currently have about 80 yards registered, and we do have some room on the list, but the deadline is tomorrow because there's a lot of logistics that go into the next 2 weeks of you know, strategically placing volunteers in those yards, typically by size. Mm-hmm. So you will be asked a couple of questions, you know, how many big trees do you have, all of those kinds of things. But really, you know, if you have a need for help, then you would qualify. And so the way that you can get signed up is you can visit our website, uwswac.org. You can also just call 211 between 8 and 5 today or tomorrow and get your yard added to the list.
And looking forward to talking with you more in a little bit. And be sure to join us again at 3 o'clock for Midday Magazine with Terry John and the United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties joins us. We'll dive more into more about campaign season and some other things that we'll be scratching out. We'll be getting into. I did want to mention one more time, Madison Rafter and our friends at the Humane Society, our Southwind County Humane Society. Cashew is available, everybody.
And he is so cute. He's so cute.
She was right. He looks just like a bat. What a perfect time of year to be able to get a little guy like him or any of the furry friends over there. Find out more by going to their website, swchs.com. And if you're able to, take one of these furry friends home. They could definitely use the help. I wanted to get to a couple of world good stories just to touch on. A guy in Rhode Island named Tim Perry is using his insane annual Halloween display to raise money for the American Cancer Society again this year. He calls it the House of a Thousand Pumpkins. He takes fake craft pumpkins and carves celebrities' faces into them. And yes, he really does have many. He's been doing it for over a decade and adds more pumpkins every year. A few years back, his wife was diagnosed with cancer. So that's when he decided to start raising money for cancer research. But the best news is he says she's doing okay now and hopefully the cancer is gone.
Very cool.
If you can't make it to Cranston, Rhode Island to see it in person, you can check out his House of a Thousand Pumpkins Facebook page. Just type it into your search bar and you'll find it.
I'm thinking we should do a remote.
Yes, let's. Oh, my God. Yes.
And I'd also like to know what his storage container looks like.
Good question. Yes, yes, yes.
If you have over 1,000 of them, where are you putting these?
That's tough. And we want you to be the good story of the day, everybody. Volunteer with your, whether it's your United Way or any other nonprofits in the area, help out where you can. We appreciate you doing so. Great show, Terry. Thanks so much. We'll get out of here. You guys have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here on...
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.